Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings, welcome inside. Final hour of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
And oh boy, do we have a hot take coming your way about Aaron Rodgers that really isn't that much of a hot take. But first, Dave Roberts is no Tony La Russa. And you'd think, well, you know, Tony La Russa's a long time, great manager, came back to the game. Dave Roberts trends on Twitter all the time. Everybody hates him. Oh, no. This is a story that doesn't end well for Tony La Russa. Right now, Dave Roberts is the number one trending topic on Twitter. And it's never good. You know, there's certain people I know when they trend on Twitter, it's never good news for them. Right. And there's four people that I know this all the time of. Right. Four people I know when I see their name, I go, oh, boy, what happened now? Right. The four people: Angel Hernandez, Joe West, Danny Green, and Dave Roberts. Those are the four guys, Mike. When they're trending, I know something happened. People are mad at them. And now I just got to go hit Twitter and find out what it's all about. It never works out for any four of those. They're on Twitter. It's, okay, something insane happened, and now I got to go find out what it was. It's never good for them.
No, that's just it, right? As soon as you see a couple of umpires, bad news.
Yep.
As soon as you see managers, it's – well, especially when you got a guy – you know, when we know the bullpen right now for the Dodgers is on high alert. And Tony La Russa, everybody's looking for reasons to say, why is this guy back in baseball? So, yeah, it becomes this type of thing where trending – names, they're bad. I mean, we got a couple when it comes to, you know, the players in respective leagues, but you never want to see an official, right? If it's a commissioner or an umpire, something's really gone to hell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's look, there's many people that I can say, hey, are they Twitter? Ah, maybe it's good. No, those four, it's bad. But here's the thing. For Dave Roberts, yes, you can be upset about the bullpen handling, and that's really always what it is. You know, it's always what it is. How is Roberts handling the bullpen? But today, he was actually faced with a situation that Tony La Russa completely biffed earlier today. The Dodgers had a chance. You know, they started the extra innings against the Cubs, a game they wound up losing with the pitcher spot coming up in the order. But when it's a pitcher, you're allowed to have the pinch runner that starts out on second base be the guy who made the out before. This is a rule in Major League Baseball, and you know, the Dodgers figured it out, right? They knew they didn't have to have a pitcher start off at second base, so they had a position player do it. Tony La Russa did not know that rule. Had his closer, Liam Hendricks, running the bases in the top of the 10th inning, and because you have an inexperienced guy running the bases, they missed out on a chance to score a run, and the Reds wound up beating the White Sox 1-0 in 10 innings. Mike Harmon is ready to just swallow a whole bunch of Tums right now because of his acid reflux and indigestion after the way they lost this game. And the thing is Tony La Russa did not know the rule. He didn't have to have his closer run the bases. If it's a pitcher, you could have the guy who made the last out previously, which would have been Jose Abreu. A fact that Tony La Russa did not know until it was brought up in a Zoom call post-game press conference. Take a listen.
You have to use the guy who made the last out. And that was Vaughn, not Abreu. Dude. So Vaughn made the last out.
The rule book, the MLB.com said if the player in the batting order immediately preceding the half innings leadoff hitter is the pitcher, the runner placed on second base may be the player preceding the pitcher in the batting order. Did like the umps explain anything like that? Or?
Well, you know, I didn't know that. We all thought that Liam was going to be the runner, and that's why I wanted there, because if you wanted a double switch to keep him in the game, if you look at all, you know, Abreu back to Moncada and so forth, that's not who you want to double switch out of the game. I wasn't aware that Abreu could have run. I thought it had to be the guy who made the last out or that spot in the order.
So, after all of this, I'm just saying, you know, yeah, I just blew it. I didn't know the guy. I didn't know the guy had to run. I could have had somebody else do it. And look, now, while this is an epic fail for Tony La Russa, and it's the worst optic for him, because what is it when you're an older manager coming back to manage? Is he out of touch? Can he still be the same effective manager that he was? And not knowing a rule, one of the new baseball rules, is the worst optic you could possibly have. All right, there's many things. If Tony La Russa screws up his bullpen, hey, what manager hasn't done that? But when it's, hey, I don't know if he's really up on, you know, can be the same effective manager because of, you know, changes to the game, and you don't know a change to the game, it's a bad look. But yeah, it's also a horrible look for the rest of the White Sox, because nobody else in that dugout, and there's multiple coaches in that dugout, there's players in that dugout, nobody knew the rule. Nobody else knew the rule that, hey, we don't have to have our pitcher start off at second base in the 10th inning. And that's why this is not just a La Russa epic fail. It is a complete White Sox epic fail. Now, he's going to bear the brunt of this because he's the manager, and rightfully so, but it's not like anybody else tried to ride to his rescue and he said, ah, you know what you're talking about. We got to have the pitcher run. Liam, you get out there. No, nobody knew the rule.
No, and that's the hardest part of this to swallow is, I mean, there's two parts, and I want to get to the reporter in a second, because that's the administration of that was just clunky and, well, pretty condescending. But the fact that La Russa and company didn't know this rule, and it's one thing if he doesn't, okay, and out of baseball, fine, but there's so much of a spotlight on him in the city. Because it was a mixed bag, a mixed reaction to when he got hired, going, all right, is this just Reinsdorf bringing his guy back? Like, isn't there somebody? Because, look, on the other side, there were folks saying, all right, if they're seriously considering him, why the hell don't they just hire back Ozzie Guillen, who brought him their last title, and let him work with these kids, right? The guy with the temperament and whatever else. But when you get back into this type of situation, especially a rule that just went into place, like, this isn't some obscure thing that's been hidden in the handbook, right? The type of stuff Bill Belichick would find in his dog-eared NFL rule book. No, this is something that was pretty much a embattled rule as it came in, right? A lot of debate about it, a lot of discussion. You know, is this right? I hate it, not because of today's events, but, you know, if folks can complain about the shift, I can complain about this. Okay, so we're even. So when you have a situation like this, and you have a full half inning to think about it, like, this isn't a spontaneous, oh, crap, a guy got hurt, I got to run somebody out there, and by rule, it's got to be this, that, or the other. No, you had plenty of time to try to figure it out as you set things up. You've got a bunch of people on the bench. You've got the call from the bullpen, and Yasmani Grandal, who's supposed to be your, you know, general on the field, who's supposed to know all of the rules, the ins and outs, and how to twist them back and forth, right? That's why you pay a catcher, a veteran catcher, to come in. And nobody on the bench knew this rule. And when you're looking for reasons to hate Tony La Russa and the hire, this just becomes another paragraph in that 2021 songbook that you're working through. So, yeah, it's bad. As for the reporter himself, the fact that he read it to him verbatim, sucked. Like, that's just BS to me. It's like, you could have paraphrased that.
Yeah, you could have
not read it word for word. Look, I'm looking at MLB.com. Let me read this to you right here. Like, that kind of sucked.
Well, I wonder if it was just because I agree. You could have just said, well, but Tony, and you would have seemed smarter. Tony, the rule is you don't have to have a pitcher do it. You can have that. But the fact that he read it and says, well, hey, according to MLB, here's the rule, and I'm reading from it, that takes the guesswork out of it. Because La Russa could have said, well, so you say that's the rule. How do I know that's the rule? Because you're saying it doesn't mean it's true.
Yeah,
which would have
perhaps
been more embarrassing for him, actually, now that I think about it. But, you know, look, I think it's like, hey, I don't want you to question me. I'm just trying to get the right answer because here's a rule that says you didn't have to do that. So I could see where it is. But, yeah, I would have liked to look smart and paraphrase it like, yeah, I knew that off the top of my head, man. Are you kidding? I knew it, man. Advantage Dave Roberts then. Congratulations, Dave Roberts. You've won one on social media over Tony La Russa. Dave Roberts is not Tony La Russa.
Yeah, who's the big winner? Twitter. Still going to be on Twitter. Still going to be second guest all day tomorrow for every move.
That's true. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Harmon. And now I'll give you this. It's kind of a hot take on Aaron Rodgers, but really just think about this for a second, okay? One of the many Aaron Rodgers stories today was that there is a thought that the Broncos and the 49ers had been tampering with Aaron Rodgers as, you know, they try to find out if Aaron Rodgers wants to go play football for them. Do you like the woods like in Green Bay, or do you like the redwoods like in Northern California? So
we're gonna have a Zoom meeting with John Elway. Meet two of the greatest quarterbacks, one active, one former. Hey, and tomorrow Aaron Rodgers has agreed to have a link up. We will have Joe Montana and Steve Young with Aaron Rodgers. Who knew?
And you got Aaron Rodgers between the two of them.
Exactly.
Like when Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush were between Urban Meyer on the college football set on Fox, and it was, but Urban Meyer's going to be the next head coach of USC, isn't he? He's going to USC. Now, clearly, look, we told you the Broncos were the team that should make the Hail Mary bid for Aaron Rodgers. What happened? The Broncos made the Hail Mary bid, but the Packers said, no, 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 not yet. The 49ers, we told you a month and a half ago, watch them try to make a move for Aaron Rodgers using the number three pick in the draft. What happened? The Niners made a call, tried to get the Packers to trade Aaron Rodgers before the draft, and the Packers said, no, no, we're not ready, even though Aaron Rodgers had let slip, I don't want to go back there and play for them ever again. So right now, these teams are waiting, right? They're waiting for the Packers to come back to them. But let me tell you this, for the 49ers, is Trey Lance the future of the 49ers and the present? He's going to be the quarterback and lead them to all kinds of success? Or was he the best asset that the 49ers could pick at number three that could also result in them being able to flip him to the Packers in exchange for Aaron Rodgers? Right now, I'm not saying they picked him solely to go to the Packers, but think about it. You have all these other quarterbacks that are much more ready to play than Trey Lance. Right? I mean, Justin Fields is more ready. Mac Jones is more ready. But Trey Lance has the highest ceiling. And here's the thing. When you pick a quarterback that early, if he's not ready, he's not good, that gets you fired. That's what happens in the NFL. So here are the 49ers who picked Trey Lance. And on one side, they thought, okay, Garoppolo and Lance, let's see how this works and we can move forward. But we like Trey Lance because he has the highest ceiling of any quarterback, right? A higher ceiling than Justin Fields, higher ceiling than Mac Jones, right? We like him, but he only has 1 year of college football at a lower level, so we kind of have to see what happens. But as far as prospects go, hey, he's the best one. He's the biggest asset we could have drafted at three. If the Packers are going to trade Aaron Rodgers, they're going to have to make sure they get a quarterback back because they know Jordan Love stunk, right? They know he stunk, and they know it's a bad pick, and they're just going to have to eventually just suck it up and swallow that was a bad pick and move on. They're going to need a quarterback in any kind of trade back, and the Niners will give them a huge treasure trove back. They'll give them players. They'll give them picks. They'll give them what they want, but the Packers are going to need a quarterback back, and Trey Lance clearly could be the next guy. Hey, Trey Lance could be our quarterback for the next 12 or 14 years, just like we had for Brett Favre, just like we had for Aaron Rodgers, and he's that guy. So is Trey Lance really the future, or is he someone who can be the future or the big trade chip for Aaron Rodgers? Because that's another big thing. If they wanted to go all in to get Aaron Rodgers before the draft, that hasn't changed. There's no way they said, well, we got Trey Lance, now we're moving on. No, they knew going into the draft they could get Trey Lance. They knew he was going to be there at three. They didn't luck into him and go, now, wow, look. They knew Lawrence was going number one, and we knew Zach Wilson was going number two. They knew at number three they were getting Trey Lance. So if they wanted to make this big effort to get Aaron Rodgers before the draft, which would have included the number three overall pick, why wouldn't it be now when they could say, now we can give you Trey Lance, we got him, and now we can give him to you, and he's the biggest asset you need. Watch out. Trey Lance is not set in stone. He'll take his first snap for the 49ers in the NFL.
Ooh, look at you. I like the subterfuge, the chaos that really still surrounds this, right? All of the weeks leading up to the draft. No, this was their guy all along, and we've seen all the, hey, I steered this guy and talked to GMs and whatever. We had that, and we've dissected it every way till Sunday. I still think that as we'll talk about, you know, with your odds and cutting up the piece of the pie, that, yeah, it's certainly not dead for the 49ers and for the Broncos. You know, I'm still questioning why the Broncos drafted as they did when you've got Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock that you don't like because of his turnover rate, and when two quarterbacks that are seemingly ready to go with high ceilings are still sitting there waiting for you. So that makes no sense. Likewise, the 49ers at this point, Jimmy Garoppolo's saying all the right things. I mean, he's doing the, you know, the breakfast, you know, club circuit at this point. Hey, you need me to go do the Rotary Club? Let's go. I'll go and we'll have a nice pancake breakfast, and I'll tell them about my time here in San Francisco. I'm going to mentor this kid, whatever. Yeah, when one or the other gets shipped out of town in short order. So, yeah, it's great. I like the conspiracy theories because you really just want everybody to hate you.
I'm just telling you, this would not have happened and gone down this way unless getting Aaron Rodgers was still on the table for San Francisco. They wouldn't have drafted. They like Mac Jones. They like these other guys. They like Justin Fields. No, but they went with Trey Lance at the end because he's the guy. Hey, we can play him or we can flip him. And we like to think we like our chances when it comes to Aaron Rodgers and where he could wind up. I'm telling you that Trey Lance, it is a huge it's a huge question mark if he ever takes a snap for the 49ers in a regular season game. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Hey, speaking of Aaron Rodgers, what are the four teams he could go to? Coming up next, we'll tell you the only four teams that will trade for him when his saga is over and the percentage chance he goes to each of these teams. And oh boy, do we got a surprise one for you. That's next right here on Fox.
Cleveland!
Not going to be Cleveland.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. What? That's it for the music tie shirt?
That's
you just took it out?
Yeah, I had to get a discounted song.
Oh, I'm sorry. I only paid for the 30 seconds off my Spotify.
They only gave me 20 seconds. Sorry.
Tyshirt's just playing off of iTunes when you get the 30 seconds, when you get the, you know, to hear the song. You just get that before you decide if you want
to
buy
money,
it or
Jay.
Not.
That's true.
What was the song he was listening to in the office when he was really upset after the breakup with Melora Hardin, and he just kept clicking on the 30 seconds on the iTunes
song? Yes.
He didn't want to buy it. He just kept clicking on it over and over, and Jim's in his office. He's not even paying attention. He's just clicking on it and just clicking on it.
Oh, what was it?
Pending.
Listen, we have a limited budget here at Fox Sports Radio. Just get the 30 seconds they give you for free on iTunes, and you try to just take it off of that. That's how it's going to work.
I completely forget what that song was. But you know what? I read an account. It was on Rolling Stone's website that got retweeted into my timeline. Was the oral history of the dinner party episode.
Oh,
which
okay.
Is just so good. Like, the episode itself is funny as hell and cringeworthy and all of those things. But the oral history of this thing from the writers and Melora Hardin and a few others is just absolute gold. So at your leisure, you know, for reading tomorrow morning. There you go.
There we go. There we go. Mike Harmon, everybody. Adding value. So goodbye, my lover.
Yes, no, it's goodbye, my lover.
No, I think that was the song when he was leaving. That was the song? That wasn't the song when he was leaving the show?
No. They did the Rent song when he left.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay, that's right. Goodbye, my love.
That's with the breakup, that one.
Okay, all right. I'm with you on it. I'm with you on there. You just looked it up on YouTube. Is that what you did?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'll tell you, the budget we have here on the show is absolutely
insane.
You
leave our crack staff alone.
Thank you.
It's going to listening to the same 30 seconds over and over. Because, you know, I was that guy. I was that guy that if there was a song I really liked, I would, like, put it on a cassette, like five times in a row. So I wouldn't have to worry about stopping and listening. I would do that. I'd listen to that song. I'd put it on, like, five times in a row so I could hear it.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're still that guy now. That's what you do with movies and TV shows. You haven't changed. You've been listening to the same disc in your car for the last 2 years.
I remember when Why Can't This Be Love by Van Halen came out, right? It was one of the first big hits with Sammy Hagar. And I said, oh, my God, I love this boy. Sammy Hagar sounds great. And I put it on there. I put it like it was the whole side of a cassette. I remember, and I told my friends about it, and a couple of them laughed. Blah, blah, blah. But we went to a party one night, and someone said, hey, bring your cassette, man, so we could play. So there was twice during the party we just played that song for 40 minutes just over one again and again and again, and then we said rewind it. I'm dating myself because, you know, it's on a cassette tape, and rewind it. So for like an hour plus we just heard Why Can't This Be Love like 5,000 times in a row. You would just hear that bow wow wow, and there was a couple of girls going, oh, this song again, come on, and I'm laughing going, yeah, this is my cassette.
That's how you get popular with the girls.
Yeah, no, it didn't. No, that actually didn't help me, because they would say, why are we listening to this song again? What are you, stupid? And I go, okay. And then the song would end, and then I'd watch people get really hopeful, and he would just hear, and they get all mad and go outside, but then you could hear it outside as well. It was like an hour and a half of Why Can't This Be Love on a loop.
You said that like it's wrong.
No, I say it like it's a very fond memory I have right now. Thinking of it.
So you're going to go do that after the show.
Bow, wow, wow,
torment
wow,
your
wow,
family.
Right now, Tyshirt's looking up Van Halen. What's the name of that band? Van Halen?
H-A-Y? Is that an ice cream company?
H-A-Y-L-E-N. H-A-L-E-N, Tyshirt.
No, it's with an H.
He hunted down Dracula.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, because he had that special axe guitar he would kill the vampires with.
Yes.
Had the red and white stripes on it. Yeah, he had that special axe. Yeah, just take a look at that.
Doesn't he have an underwear company?
No, that's Van Heusen.
Oh, okay.
Van Heusen. Yeah, that's how it is. And Van Morrison sings Moondance.
Oh, yeah, right.
Right, okay, there. Can I just have... That's Van Morrison. Okay. With Aaron Rodgers, look, a treasure trove of stories today involving Aaron Rodgers, right? He called Packers GM Brian Gutekunst Jerry Krause, which is not a great comparison. I would spend time explaining who Jerry Krause is to millennials, but it's not a good comparison for him.
He's a guy that should be in the Hall of Fame and a legend.
And Michael Jordan loved him.
Clearly.
The story that Aaron Rodgers has told free agents, I'm not going to be in Green Bay in 2021. So if coming here you think I'm going to be here, guess what? I'm not. Brett Favre doesn't think that Aaron Rodgers is going back to Green Bay. The 49ers and the Broncos are accused of potentially tampering with Aaron Rodgers. I mean it when I said it. There are going to be Aaron Rodgers stories every day for at least the next month.
Colorado saying, hey, we were one of the first green states, buddy. Come on, hang out. Come on, man.
Peyton Manning owns a lot of pizza plants. So where are the teams that Aaron Rodgers can go to? There are only four teams that can take Aaron Rodgers, and I'm going to give you the percentage chance that he goes to these teams, because there's only four teams that can play the long game and say, we can move on with our teams the way they are, but if something happens and you circle back to us, we can pounce and make this deal happen. All right, number one, 60%, I'm giving a chance he winds up with the Broncos. The Broncos already made the big offer. They'll make an offer that Green Bay can't say no to. They have picks. They have players. They have whatever they want. We already know that they really want him. We said they should go all in with the Hail Mary, and they already have. So the Broncos are going to be front and center. It's not quite his preferred destination, and it's the AFC, which is where they really would like to trade him. So I'm going to put Denver, because they'll probably go over the top more than anybody else to get him. I'll put Denver getting Aaron Rodgers right now at 60%.
I dig that. I'll go a little higher. If the trade is going to be consummated, and the Packers don't just tell him to pound sand and host Jeopardy or hang out on the Great Lakes and eating cheese, I'm going to put it up at 75.
Cheese.
Okay. I'm going to go higher. Like, if we're going to play the exercise through to where it's going to happen, they're getting him out of the conference. They're not going to trade him to a place where he's going to easily come back and beat them, except for when the schedule rotation necessitates it to be so.
I would have gone higher if there wasn't a place they could also trade him that they could say this could be the end of his career. And that's the Raiders. I get that, hey, the Raiders look like they're coming up, but the Raiders always look like this. Is it one of his preferred destinations? Yeah, because it's Vegas. But really, are the Packers going to be afraid they're going to turn the Raiders into a yearly Super Bowl winning team? No, the Raiders can't get out of their own way. Every time they win two games, boy, look how good the Raiders are. They lose three in a row, right? This is just who the Raiders are. So there's no danger trading him to the Raiders thinking that now he's really going to get what he wants in the last few years of his career, and that's one or two Super Bowls. You know, Green Bay will get picks. They'll get players. They'll get Derek Carr, who they can easily say, hey, come run our team, throw the football 5 feet downfield, hand the ball to Aaron Jones. This is how we're going to do it. We like you, and we'll figure out what our next quarterback is. So the Raiders, I'm given a 20% chance that they can get Aaron Rodgers.
Ooh, I like that. Nice and bold. It's a bold strategy, Cotton. He and Chucky together would be just electric television.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Are you kidding? Them yelling at each other on the sideline would be great.
Yeah, I don't know that he would take the ball out of his hands, so I think there's a happiness there. You know, think about you could launch a whole network of content related to their interactions. You want to talk about the Odd Couple? I mean, I know we got Chris and Rob, but now Chucky and Aaron Rodgers. Are you kidding me? That is great theater. They got a couple of burners downfield, right? They drafted Edwards and Ruggs. As long as Edwards is healthy, you got Waller there. So you got three guys plus Josh Jacobs that can run the football. Shuffled up the O-line, but it looks like the possibility. And let's face it, they have the blueprint to beat the Chiefs. Didn't you hear that? All right, I laughed at it too. They played them well.
They do play them tough. The last couple of years, they play them tough.
They play them tougher
than anybody else does.
That's great. You still got to play the other 14 games on your schedule and win a couple of times after the midpoint.
Not every plan is foolproof, buddy. I mean, sometimes you have a plan that only works so much, then we'll figure out the rest of the plan.
Well, the problem is you never figure out the rest of the plan, and you continue to sputter and suck. But you're in
Nevada.
Here's
my plan. How about, you know, your plan's good, except your plan sucks. So let's do my plan, and we'll figure it out.
Way to go, Mr. Lord.
So if I got the Raiders at 20%, I'm going to give the Niners about a 15% chance. Because clearly we talked about having Trey Lance would be a huge thing, a huge selling point for if you want to move on, here's your next franchise quarterback. They're hanging out, hoping it gets back to them. They'll make a big offer. They already did before. But the fact that it's the NFC and it would really be a huge preferred destination for Rodgers tells me unless the other teams drop out and it's just San Francisco, they don't want to trade him somewhere where clearly, hey, he can go there and with Kyle Shanahan and in that offense suddenly everybody's looking up at the 49ers and he's back in the Super Bowl. So unless the other teams drop out, unless Denver and the Raiders say then it would be San Francisco. But to think they're gonna outbid them and that's where they would trade him, it's a bit of a low chance. I mean, it's there because of Trey Lance, but I think it's about a 15% chance San Francisco.
Yeah, it's pretty low for me. I'm getting down into, you know, the 10% kind of thing here.
You only have so much left, buddy.
I only got so much juice left, so I'm not putting a lot of love and stock in here. So I'm at 9%, right? Because I went 75, and then what do we have? 10. No, I went 15, so 90. So I'm at 99, which means I got 1% for your wild card. And that's where it is.
Here's my wild card, because here's a team to watch out for, because they can move on with their team the way they are, but they already know, hey, we have our quarterback of the present and future, but if we see somebody we like better, we're going to trade him in, and that's the Dolphins. Watch out for the Dolphins. They have the picks next year. They have the quarterback in Tua Tagovailoa, who clearly they're not sold on, even though he had a pretty good year last year and he comes with great pedigree. And you can say, all right, if you're going to give me a bunch of picks and some players and you give me Tua and we figure it out with Tua and Jordan Love, okay. I can see the Packers saying yes to that. It's clearly not the best of the offers they get, but when you talk about what they could get next year, first first round picks and a quarterback that maybe might be able to work, watch out for the Dolphins. Is it where Aaron Rodgers wants to go? No, but it's Miami. It's a huge market, and it's in the AFC. So watch out for the Dolphins. And I'll tell you this, as time goes on, if certain teams drop out, I can see the Dolphin, the aspect of this getting larger and larger and larger, because Aaron Rodgers wants to go where there's a big market. He wants to go someplace. Yes, he's looking right now at San Francisco. He likes Vegas. He'll like Denver. Miami will be one of those teams that continues to grow on both the Packers and Aaron Rodgers as time goes on. Watch out for the Dolphins.
Yeah, I think when you're looking at that particular situation, you brought up a couple of the factors related to it, right? Coming off the hip injury, nobody knew how quickly he'd respond to that. Obviously, you know, there's a year further removed from all of that, perhaps a better physical place, not to mention being able to work around the team and grow that way. They've added some more weapons, you know, by all accounts, from all the draft experts. They did a great job, me and you, I think, looking at it from a what did they need to do. I think they checked the boxes, and that program continues to build, much to your chagrin. How about if I split it 0.5% to your Dolphin idea to go play down there, the other half that he ends up in New England?
Oh, wow. You really think they're going to do that? And they're going to say, hey, Bill Belichick, we'll allow you to re-jump this dynasty. Oh, I it sounds great.
But again, the only way – but that's – again, it goes to the AFC, not a team you play with regularity, a team that always has draft assets at the ready. I don't know.
Yeah, but they never want to trade him. They never want to trade him. If they're going to say, hey, we need 3 first-round picks, and Bill Belichick would just put the phone down.
No, but here, this goes
Nike, you
to
talk
the,
to them. You talk right, to them, Nike.
But they just lost their chief researcher who's moving out of the building, so maybe they can get a different valuation put back in. But just from the idea to extend some of the longstanding theories of the show, the network, that are out there about the competition in the post-breakup Belichick-Brady world, what better way to fire back at Tom Brady? Forget this kid that may be ready out of Alabama. I don't know. Let's bring in the guy that some call the GOAT, even though, you know, he's 1-4 in NFC title games. And look, not always his fault, but, you know, facts are facts, right? If we're going to cut to the chase, make one more play on your prior offensive possession, that why not replace him with a guy who's in that conversation and see if you can't run right back to a Super Bowl? You just spent a lot of money on weaponry. How about giving a guy that actually can deploy it?
Oh, boy. It would be incredible. And if that happens, I'll be mad at you for putting it out in the universe. But it's really hard for me to see that work.
But that's why it's – I mean, it's such a long shot, but it's a fun in this theoretical world of, well, if we got all the other pieces together, how about swinging for the downs?
Twitter it out about a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. So there you go. There's our percentage chances. The teams that he can go to, Denver at 60%, the Raiders at 20%, Niners at 15%. Watch out for the Dolphins. 5%, but could grow. And no, not Cleveland.
You don't know that.
Jerk.
Are you saying it's 0%?
We got more. Yes, it's 0%.
There's no
point in Cleveland. It's like 0%. Doge was like 6 months ago, 0.00.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
This is not Why Can't This Be Love.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Are you sure?
But it's a good song, though, so it's okay.
Why don't we just jump into it?
Sure.
I see what you did there.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. And hey, I dig that at least you knew the name of the song. That's nice.
Thank you.
I like that. That's good. Tonight, we watched the Dodgers get swept by the Cubs. First sweep the Dodgers suffered since early 2019. Yes, last year was only 30 games, but still. You went through all of 2019 and now. And there's so many reasons I've seen people throw out there. Dave Roberts isn't managing well. He mismanages the bullpen. Look, that happens once in a while. The Dodgers have injuries, and the Dodgers' bullpen has not come through. They're not hitting. They're not synced up. All of this is true. But I'm going to go back to something that we've already seen happen, and we're going to continue to see happening until the Dodgers fix it. So far this season, Kenley Jansen is having an okay season, right? He's having an okay season, right? His ERA is 2. You know, he's saved 5 games. He's got 2 blown saves and a loss. That's what Kenley Jansen has, 2 blown saves and a loss. In his games this year, right, he has been in 6 one-run games where he has come in. 3 times he has protected that lead, and 3 times he has failed to. All right, now it's when you get the 2-run and 3-run leads, you're supposed to win these things.
Right.
It's the 1-run leads, you got to be better than 50%. And that's the thing that you can't trust Kenley Jansen in, is the tight situations anymore. This is why I said the injury to Dustin May is so crippling, because not only is it you lose a really good pitcher, is that you're going to need to at some point move Julio Urias to the closer, you know, so
no.
He can split time with Kenley Jansen.
He's an ace. He's not going anywhere.
He's good. I like him, but you need him more. Look, where are these guys? The Dodgers have enough starting pitching to get by. They have enough starting pitching. They got 3 great starting pitchers. They're going to be just fine, but you need to figure out the back end of this bullpen. And when your longtime save leader is now a coin toss in one-run games, you can't keep going to him. You got to figure something else out. That's the real issue, is in tight games, you can't go to Kenley Jansen. He walks too many, puts too many people on base. It's what happens to him. He has difficulty. 2- and 3-run games, yeah, go ahead. But when it's tight, you can't go to him. It's too difficult.
Yeah, no, I certainly look for an upgrade there, but I don't think Urias is the guy to shuttle down. I think you finally have found another ace here. So, yes, at playoff series, it becomes a whole other thing in terms of availability and what you do. For the regular season, look, this is where you have all of these different assets in your farm system, and we know the Dodgers scout so well. This is where you go near the deadline and go find yourself a guy on the bargain rack.
That's where it's at. Hey, agree or disagree with me. You agree with me. You agree with Mike. The Dodgers can't trust Kenley Jansen in these situations. They just can't. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. Coming up next, my buddy Ben Maller. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio. Mets, yo.